Welcome to Christ Central, for it is Christ who is the hub of hope and the focal point around whom all else revolves. Please come join us for worship Saturday mornings at 10:40 a.m. at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church on 2313 Nu'u'anu Avenue. This week features Waves of Grace. Its founder, Elder Arnold Trujillo, was the past president of the Hawaii Seventh-day Adventist Conference. He returns to Honolulu in an 8-day journey to cover the life of Christ from the four Gospels in a unique and incredible way, joined by the singing talents of Lila Cervantes and Michael Harris. Here to introduce Waves of Grace is director Lloyd Claycomb.
What a privilege to be here. 10 months ago, when we started this ministry, or the concept of this ministry, I never dreamed we'd be in Hawaii. When we were invited to come by Pastor Walter, I thought, well, sure, I'll go to Hawaii. You need to bring your friends, your relatives, and anybody that you know to these meetings. We just got back from Fiji a month or so ago. We had over 30 baptisms. The pastor there said, why are you here? I go, I don't know. That's up to the Lord. We're here. So my prayer for you is that over the next 9 series events, through this journey, will be a blessing. At the end, our hearts testament that we may love Him even more.
It was in 1999 that I had the privilege of coming to the mission field of Hawaii as a president. It was a real sacrifice, but somebody had to do it. What do you say? I was glad that I had the opportunity to make that sacrifice and to serve here until 2006 as your president. Must we communicate with you the wishes of my wife? She sends her warm aloha to all of you. You know, this was our church here when we were here. She was a member of the Sabbath school class right over there. And she wants to make sure that you all know that you're in her thoughts and prayers and sends you just the most warmest of alohas. One of the things that we did here almost every day that I was on island during those years is that I would go on over to Ala Moana Beach Park and walk around the park on to Magic Island and back on down around, about 3 miles. The last 2 days I've done that again. It used to be that I would call up Josue and Ruth Rosado, who was principal of HMA at that time, and I'd wake him up early in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever, and say, hey, let's go. Let's go walking. And we did. We would walk. Well, after walking around a few hundred times, certain things came to me. Well, number one, the action of the waves. Some of those waves were gentle waves. Some of those waves during different parts of the year were very big and strong and wash on up over the breakwater. But they were always there. Hundreds, millions of waves. And after a few years, it dawned on me that these waves are a wonderful metaphor for the love of God for us. They're constant. We sometimes think, when we think about Jesus and his love, we think about Calvary. We think about the substitutionary atonement. But I'd like to suggest to you, and this is the thought that came to me in the years that I was here in Hawaii, that gave launching to Waves of Grace, the life and teachings of Jesus, and that is the conviction, a very strong conviction, that everything, and I do mean that, everything in his life and in his teachings is a revelation of unmerited favor for you and for me. Everything. My goal is very simple. I'm hoping 1 week from today, when I ask you, how many of you love Jesus significantly more on the 22nd of February than you did today on the 15th of February, that you will be able to enthusiastically raise both hands and say, I do. I love him more. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will move you, move your heart, and that you will love him more personally, more powerfully, more deeply than you love him today. Why? Why? Well, because I think the single most important characteristic of the people who are going to be in heaven is that they love God with how much? All. Not 50%. Not 99.9% of their hearts, minds, and soul. But with all of their hearts, minds, and souls. And so that's what I'm hoping for. Because everyone who's going to be in heaven is going to love Jesus that way. This kind of powerful love relationship is the foundation for everything else. It's the foundation for obedience. It's the foundation for tithing. It's the foundation for Bible study. It's the foundation. It is the springboard for witnessing and wishing to hasten the coming of Jesus. And I think Jesus is coming soon. We're going to be looking at his life. Sequentially, chronologically, we're going to be looking at his teachings. But we're going to be looking very focused for grace, for waves of grace, or revelations of grace in these biblical passages that we're going to be looking at. It's all going to be about Jesus. And I pray that you will be saying, you will be praying, and you will be praying for me and saying, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You
can share this new version of Waves of Grace with you. In Luke chapter 2, and I do hope you have your Bibles, verses 10 and 11, let's begin with about the beginning of Christ's coming to this earth. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people?" All people. How many of you include yourself in the all people? How many of you are part of the all people? Okay, you are. I am. I believe I am. So here we have the angel giving a message to the shepherds for whom? For me and for you. Okay? He's my Savior. He's your Savior. He was born to the human family. He's a part of the human family even today. Oh, I know he walked on this earth for a relatively short period of time, about 33 and a half years. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. Notice, verse 27. For as the lightning comes, don't forget, Jesus is looking forward about 2,000 years to his second coming, because this happened about 2,000 years ago. Jesus hasn't come yet, right? So he is looking, 2,000 years ago, he's looking forward about 2,000 years down the line. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, he's the Son of God. But isn't it significant to you? He is identifying himself with the human family, with our family. Jesus is in heaven today still, the Son of Man. Ours, yours, mine. Notice verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of what? Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus today is part of the human family. He is ours. He did not identify with the angelic host by becoming a part of the angelic host. He became a part of the human family. He is God's gift. He is the Lamb of God.
I stood apart, but you have called me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Wash me in your precious blood, till I am just a Lamb of God. Wash me in your precious blood, till I am just a Lamb of God. Something
happened when God became a man. Something happened to the human family. That we came into a special relationship with God. We capture that relationship in John chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Let's look at that. Two conditions. Number one, receive him. Number two, believe in his name. And if you meet those conditions according to this text, you have the right, not the privilege, the right to come into existence, the right to be son and daughter of God. I find that to be most amazing. I can remember when I was 14 years of age, Golden Gate Academy freshman, E.L. Minchin came from the General Conference Youth Department to do a week of prayer, a week of spiritual emphasis. And here this Australian elderly gentleman that spoke with an accent, he came, and this 14-year-old Hispanic boy listened, and for the first time in my life, I realized that John 3:16 did not say, "For God so loved the world." It says, "For God so loves 14-year-old freshman boys." And that he wanted me to be his. Now, maybe I was very vulnerable. This freshman boy had serious challenges with self-esteem. I was short. All the girls were tall. All the junior and senior boys had muscles. I had none. I didn't believe. My name, my teachers could not pronounce. My last name. They would say Trujillo. But Jesus, he knew my name. And he could pronounce it right. That was a big deal. And I say, "Yes, I want to be yours. There may be no one else, but I want to be yours. I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. I love you." Why? Because you loved me first. Amen. You have amazed me by your goodness. You have overwhelmed me by your love. You have guided me and led me. Now I look back many years later and I still want him and I want to see him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You who raised your hands to those two conditions, you are a child of God. We behave like children of God, not in order to become children of God. We behave like children of God because we are children of God. And we are because he has adopted us into his family because of his goodness, because of his grace. Let's just drill down just a little bit more here. Let's go on over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Remember, we're talking about the incarnation. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we, you and I, might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. We are children of God.
He was there the first time that you prayed. And he heard all the promises you made. And when I fell, if before him, crying, Father, I have sinned. He picked me up and held me close again. You will always be a child in my eyes. And when you need some love, His arms are open wide. Even when we're growing old, I hope you realize we will always be a child in God's eyes. You will always be a child. When you need some love, His arms are open wide. Even when you're growing old, I hope you realize we will always be a child in God's eyes. We will always keep a child in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. Always keep a child in God's eyes.
Let's continue looking there at Galatians chapter 4. We see here we have been adopted into the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters. And notice verse 6, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, our daughter, and if a son, then what? An heir of God through Christ. Now, let's follow this. What are some of the evidences of or waves of grace that we have seen thus far? Well, number one, Jesus is a Savior that was given to us, the human family. Number two, Jesus is forever going to be identified with us, with the human family. I think that's a huge wave of grace. Number three, He has adopted us into His family. Now, He didn't adopt us into His family because we're so good looking, or because we're so tall, we're so short, we're so smart, we're so educated. No, no. He adopted us into His family because He loves us. It's all about Him, not about us. It's all about His goodness, not about our merit. Not because there's anything inherently in us to recommend us to Him, except our great need. And notice this, now we come to another, what I call, wave of grace. And that is, because we are His children, we are heirs. H-E-I-R-S. We are heirs. Now, what does an heir have when the will maker passes away? He receives a what? An inheritance. That's exactly right. An heir receives an inheritance. You are a child of God because you raised your hands, you received Him, you believe in Him. You're a child of God. Because you're a child of God, you are an heir. Because you are an heir, you have an inheritance. What is the inheritance? Just a couple of verses. Let's take a look here. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Let's take a look at verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When you have it, please say amen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father." What's the next word? Inherit. Inherit what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom is an inheritance. Salvation, eternal life, is an inheritance. It is yours because you're an heir. You're an heir because you've been adopted into the family of God. Jesus has adopted you to be a part of his family. His Father is your Father. We are heirs of salvation. It's because of our relationship with Jesus and the Father. What blessed assurance is ours?
'Cause I'm washed in his blood.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of burst on my side, angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Sing with us, everyone. This is my story.
Let me hear you.
This is my story.
We hope you have enjoyed the first sermon of the 8-part series, Waves of Grace. Next week, you will hear the final day of this 8-part series. And if you missed Waves of Grace, we got you covered. Keep checking the website for how you can acquire a box set of the complete 8-day series at hauncentralsda.org. Again, that's hauncentralsda.org. As always, you can watch this sermon or subscribe to our audio podcasts. We invite you to attend our worship service every Saturday at 10:40 a.m. at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church here at 2313 Nu'u'anu Avenue.